Was he unveiled? Yes. Best character?
No.
All I can say is, come try to get a fucking piece of me. All right?
Not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and miseries. Our men are running from the battlefield. I'm ashamed for this place!
We didn't even do a check for audio. I don't care. Yeah. We're going into it.
We're going in raw.
Going in raw for this
going
one.
In raw
this going one. In raw. Going in raw. To completion. So.
Wait, what?
Any more dick comments before we continue with this one?
Or is it? I'm going to start
it off
this podcast off real turgid.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah? Good use of vocabulary.
Yeah. Was that in your...
$20
Is that on your calendar for the day?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't start off like we're gonna slag a bag of sweaty nuts. I was having this conversation with somebody the other day about how I say occasionally pretty dumb things, but I like to do it with like $5 vocabulary, so
right.
It doesn't seem so much like my college education.
The English
waste.
Major in the room. Right.
Well, that's why I started a podcast, dude, because we all say really dumb shit all the time.
Fair enough.
We got a special guest today.
Special?
Special. In certain ways. we won't say what.
Awesome.
Nate Rowe is with us. He's a good friend of ours, former co-worker as well, and we all used
former
to work.
College
yeah.
buddy.
That's right, one of college buddies of yours.
We never lived together, which I thought was weird.
That was weird. We sure have.
That's probably for the best, though. Both managed to graduate.
Yeah, but together we've not graduated.
Nope.
I feel like you wouldn't be alive.
Wouldn't have been, honestly.
I don't know how we were anyway.
Yeah, that was...
I'm not going to incriminate myself any further. Moving on!
I just think one of you would have gotten straight A's for a college semester at one point. If you
My name's the Hoss Man. Shut up, Brandon. Stop talking about college.
All right, we're here with Nate. It's me and Hoss, like normal. But what are we talking about today, Hoss? We're talking about a game series that's pretty prominent in a lot of people's... life.
Children of the 90s.
Yes.
And, purveyors of profanity are probably quite fond of the Mortal Kombat series.
It's true.
We're not doing a feature on Per Rapper the Rapper?
Next week we're going to be specifically talking about Jammer Lammy.
Jammer Lammy. I'm down with that. He's the new downloadable in the new MK10, if I remember right.
Mortal Kombat 10, Jammer Lammy.
Dude, if Jammer Lammy was in there, or like...
Scorpion Fatality where he cuts that dude's face off.
Yeah.
That's pretty brutal.
And you just watch crayons pour out of his skull. Yeah, right. Fuck putting Kratos in there this time. We're going Jammer Lammy.
What's that Crayola jingle? That from the commercials, and it's like, open a box of fun or something like that. Like, they should play that.
Ask me anything about Crayola commercials. Go ahead, ask me anything.
I feel like you should know all of this.
I think you are off base in this assertion. Any indication this podcast is going to go swimming?
You have a fucking entire bookshelf full of coloring books behind you. This is a secret, people. Ross has an entire bookshelf of coloring books.
True.
Not video games.
Pandas.
An official color of Crayola is a manatee. That is an official color. Didn't know if you knew that. Sort of a peach brown.
Assume the color of a manatee.
That's a Crayola fact.
I legit didn't know that manatees were brown. I thought they were sort of gray like seals and walruses.
Yeah.
Come
on. Well,
fair enough.
As am I. So I thought they were gray as well. So,
I couldn't pick that red out of there, I guess.
Apparently, manatees look like coral.
So as we get into it, we'll be talking about Mortal Kombat, the series in general, and pretty much a retrospective on all of it and all of its gory wonder of Midway. So
I'll do a fun history segment that'll be
fun history
really
segment, mechanics and whatnot. It'll all be fun and great. But we'll be talking about our favorite installments of the series, our favorite characters, etc. We even got some write-ins this week, which was great. A lot of people decided to join in the conversation today, so happy about that. Anyway, let's move on to our first news topic of the day. It's not video game related.
It's fucking Christmas.
At all.
It's Christmas.
Christmas came early today. Willow, will you knock it off?
And my dog's getting a little bit rowdy.
She's getting a little crazy today. She's excited about this too. So
it's Star Wars trailer day. So
it's Star Wars trailer day. The teaser trailer came out. That means more than just a few blurbs here and there.
I am wet.
What? good to know. All right, yeah, so
it's Star Wars trailer day.
Star Wars trailer day. And it was another teaser trailer that showed us a lot more. Showed us a lot more look at the Empire and what it looks like now, and the fallen remnants of the Empire. Big Star Destroyer in the background. It was cool. Luke having a bit of overlay of what he said in Jedi, I believe, being the narration. It's pretty cool, pretty awesome.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
That one, you know, that famous Luke Skywalker quote. You nailed it.
That famous Skywalker, you know.
Yeah. You that guy, that feller that said, live long and prosper.
Yeah, I think that was him.
It's been Ein Berliner, yes.
I gotta say, how about that badass chrome trooper guy?
That was pretty
cool.
Okay, so
he was fucking cool.
Something I noticed on that one that was kind of cool is that's an actual, I don't know the name, but it's an AR-15 stock that they have on that gun.
Interesting.
And the gun looks a lot like an AR-15 if you're looking at it.
Right.
I just thought it was kind of interesting that they're going away from kind of, I mean, I guess they had, you know, Hans Blaster looked like that old German blaster.
Yeah, the old, yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, I think one gun was designed after the Sturmgewehr 44 or something like that. But I don't know, I just thought it was cool that they had, like, this, like, modern AR-15 stock on the chrome trooper.
I want to get an over-under on how long until Wilhelm.
Until a Wilhelm scream?
Yeah.
First scene they're throwing at the Wilhelm.
Somebody falls on a land speeder.
Let me Googlefy that. Somebody confirmed today that was actually going to be at a certain point.
Oh, I'll bet it will be. Yeah. Absolutely. You have to do it.
Lucas used both really famous screams. There's the Wilhelm, and then there's like the something fallen.
The Nelson scream. The one that...
Not that one. He used that
for the TIE Fighters, actually.
He used the one for, like, it's the universal sound effect for a guy falling off a railing. Like,
okay, yeah.
Quite liberally.
Gotta use stock, you know, when you don't have a budget, so it just kind of became a thing, so...
Yeah, I think he did it more for irony. Just playing it up.
I don't think he's that intelligent.
He's like, let's make this fucking Christmas special, and
there you go. Yeah, he still claims he had nothing to do with that thing, even though he's completely
Wookiee planet.
Over it.
Who wants that?
There's a Wookiee family in that whole thing.
Ah, it's internet trash.
It's internet.
That's what I heard. Yeah. So they're saying Ben Burtt was the guy who did it originally, not George Lucas. So,
okay.
And they don't know if he's going to be involved or not. So
interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I bet they'll throw it in there because they love doing that. There was a red shirt in the first Star Trek, so
yeah,
you know, it's always.
Was there a Wilhelm scream in any of the Star Trek?
I don't know. If there's a Wilhelm scream in any
fucking
Star Trek. It probably should have been. Yeah.
Can I say fuck on this?
You can say fuck.
Yes,
yes. You can
say
whatever you want. Yeah.
A lot.
Do you not
listen to this podcast?
I listen to the podcast regularly. All right. That's why I was so titillated when you were like, "Hey, you want to be on it?" I was like, "Yes, I do."
All right. Well, there we go. We have a titillated fan. So
I'm titillated, and look at this. All my fan dreams have become reality.
It's true. It's true. But that's it for the trailer. It was awesome looking. Had a little Han Solo at the end.
I hate Star Wars, like, a lot.
Yeah.
I thought that seemed okay.
Why do you hate America?
Why do you hate...
Why do you hate joy?
Why do you hate fun and good things? If
space magic is fucking dumb! If laser swords and space magic, that sounds like...
Laser swords are stupid. Lightsabers are fucking incredible.
That sounds like something I would have scribbled in my fucking Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper. I had a Lisa Frank, let's be honest.
Yeah, okay, yeah. There you go. I had a Dawson's Creek. But whatever.
that's legally all I can do of that song.
Yeah. Just a giant picture of James Vanderbeek.
crying.
Speaking of James Vanderbeek, this is not video game related, but did you guys see that ridiculous ass video of the Power Rangers?
Oh, fuck yeah, you kidding?
It was so cool!
It was so dumb, I loved it!
Cool! Yeah,
just had Katie Sackhoff and everything.
I never watched
James Vanderbeek is like Satan himself.
Yeah, awesome.
I haven't seen it. I have no attachment to Power Rangers
right.
anyway.
I kind of liked it when I was a kid. I was was too old, though. You know, it was one of those things where it was campy, kind of cool, but, like, it's cool. You should check it.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It's just one of those really ridiculous reboot-type things that will never happen.
Like, the one thing I really did like that's along those same lines is the Captain Planet stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was
stuff was... Like, I only liked, like, the first two, the Don Cheadle.
The Don Cheadle Captain Planet.
Like, the first couple were pretty good. After that, I'm like, well, this is... Well, that ran its course.
I don't even think I saw the second one. I saw the first one, and it was fabulous, so...
It's like, you know, it had about the shelf life of a Joe cartoon Flash comic. You're like, all right, all right, I get it. That Humvee's gonna run over these dudes.
We just dropped a Joe cartoon reference on this show.
Oh,
1999
with a bullet.
Oh, man. All right. And one other bit of Star Wars-related news that's coming up is Star Wars Battlefront.
Yes.
That's the trailer for that's dropping next week.
Yes.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Yes.
It will drop by the time this one comes out.
All right. But. So they released a couple pieces of art today that look really interesting. One being supposedly an actual in-game shot.
Interesting.
And the kind of it was amazing. I mean, it was basically in movie.
Right.
Know, it was just awesome.
Sure.
And then they released I guess it was DICE or EA or somebody on Instagram released like a 9-photo series on Twitter the last couple days, and they showed one of the stormtroopers. It's got this weird backpack that looks like some kind of rebreather unit or something, and like a gun that nobody's seen before. So,
right.
Kind of excited about that.
Is it back to the Clone Saga era?
No, these were all the stuff that they've been releasing have been like AT-AT walkers and like speeder bikes and stormtroopers. They haven't released anything that's like rebel related or anything like that. But I don't know. I'm hoping they stay away from Clone because
I mean, you know, it's.
I have no expectation that they'll talk about anything that's old.
Really.
I mean, I think they'll just go stylistically with an inspiration and just move on.
Move on with it. Yeah, I think so too.
I don't think they'll be like, if you'll remember from the Greedo book 3 that Han clearly shot first. I really don't think they're going to give a shit.
You know, it was really like just like the most abominable part about that whole Han shooting second thing was just the fact that they justified it with that terrible little
head bob.
Yeah. It's just like so horrible.
It's like suddenly Han Solo's neck defies the laws of physics.
It looked like he was in Night of the Roxbury.
It was. Yeah,
exactly.
It was so
horrible. You know what? There's a video back
of someone, George Lucas, sat in front of a screen, looked at that, and said, "That's ready for roll."
Yeah, exactly.
No, fuck you. You know what's fucking worse?
America.
No, fuck you. What's way worse is in the first movie when he fucking steps on Jabba's fucking tail
and
zooms up as if he was shot out of a cannon.
There is some shit that they should have just left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah,
they did. Well,
yeah, everything that they added. Because here's the number one thing I'll say: anything about those special editions, I don't really give a shit. It's his movie; he can do whatever he wants.
It's true.
But here's the reason that I don't like them: when you take a movie full of practical effects that were designed and implemented 40 years ago or whatever the fuck, and then you throw in modern effects, it makes the good stuff look worse.
Yeah, exactly.
And the sad thing is, in that movie, the good stuff didn't even look that good.
Well, not only that, it's just like you could... Like, there was just something... Like, everything else looked more... Like, even the bad effects looked more tangible than the crap they threw up. It just looked bad. It looks bad by today's standards. It wasn't great by those standards.
And you know what? The scenes where they're fucking flying over the Death Star and shit?
Yeah.
I know that just looks like a board game, but that board game looks bad fucking ass.
Doesn't it? Like, the only thing that I'm cool with is, like, enhancing the things that don't look as good. Like, getting rid of the orange aura underneath the land speeder.
Yeah, I thought that...
Like that.
I consider that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cleaning it up.
Restoration.
Yeah, exactly. That's
restoration. Is one thing. I mean,
adding blinks to the Ewoks, no one gives a fuck,
fucking
George.
Midichlorians, really. Fucking midichlorians.
Oh, man.
The only thing I like about the Ewoks, that dumb song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yup, yup. That's okay.
That's how my funeral's going down, man. Just a giant burning fire and Ewoks dancing everywhere.
Want to be fucked up?
Your helmet set up like a drum machine.
Fuck
and one of your friends is going to be hanging on.
The decapitated dead of my enemies.
Want to be fucked up is that it'll just be a normal funeral? show up and just toss a torch into the casket.
And then all the Ewoks come out. Everybody's having a grand old time at that funeral.
Your brother Brian's like, this is a kick-ass funeral.
A bunch of little people come out and demand costume and $50 a piece.
Right.
It's pretty awkward, yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Billy, you're one dude. I don't care if you're two dudes in a suit, you're getting one paycheck. Fuck you, split it.
So that's our definitive opinion on Star Wars, I think. Yeah, no one can argue with that.
Fuck it.
No. I do have to say this, though.
Right.
The new Star Destroyers look awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They do look really cool. That's the one thing that kind of stuck out to me was the change there.
I love the new troops. I like the new Nazi-like flag. Everything looks really cool. Cool aesthetic to this movie, and I can't wait for it. Everything's filmed analog. Nothing's digital.
Did they do 70 mil on this?
I think it's 70 mil, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Awesome. Right? Yeah.
Well, and the nice thing that I saw is that so many movies now are being shot at 32 frames.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I think it's some new movie coming out. He's being shot at 70 frames.
Right, yeah.
And
is it Hateful Eight?
I don't know.
No, I think that might just be down 70.
I think it's Guther Hero.
Guther Hero.
So many movies are being shot at such high frame rates. I love...
You said shit at a high frame rate.
I'd watch that.
So many movies are being shit.
That's the title of this podcast.
And shit at high frame rates. But there's something to me that I find comforting. Maybe this is just me being an old man or something. About when you get that pan...
Oh, yeah.
That you get that nice, smooth roll. There's the occasional stutter,
right.
But it's that smooth roll. The problem when you shoot something at too high of a frame rate...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That you end up with the look of those new Hobbit movies, and they look like a fucking telenovela, and it makes the effects look worse.
Yeah.
Something about that, I think it's because you have to animate so many more frames that you spend less time on detail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you look at a video game. If a video game... excuse me, let me talk about video games for a
minute. That's not a place for this.
On
come
this
on.
Video game
you guys
podcast.
Invite Nate and everything goes to shit.
But, when you play a game that runs at 30 frames versus a game that runs at 60 frames, the 30 frames games tend to look better.
Yeah.
On average, they spend more of the horsepower, more of their resources on making more complicated and intricate textures and character models as opposed to a 60 frames game that... If it's a racing game, give me less polygons, more frames, let's do this.
Right, yeah.
And, I don't even give a shit about resolution. 720, that's fine, fuck it. Make it run at 1,000 frames, let's Trackmania, let's do this. Oh, if I told you guys, I've been thinking about starting up a... I'm thinking about buying a server off a buddy of mine to set up a SQL server so I can run a Trackmania server out of my house so I can play a bunch of, like...
You gonna be a Linux admin, or...?
No, it's gonna be a Windows SQL.
Dude, and we can make a Windows structure.
Yeah, but that's how you fucking start a Trackmania server, motherfucker. And
Windows server.
Yeah, imagine all the fuck you. Imagine all of these.
I worked at Rackspace.
For anybody who didn't
understand completely what it's like to have a Windows server,
2012 R2, okay.
For those who don't have video at home, Nate basically just did the. Body language equivalent of pushing up his glasses.
Yeah.
A Windows server?
If you can ease off on your fucking douchebaggery for a minute. I just want a server full of tracks that all the textures are like Pornhub GIFs and all the music is just like dubstep remixes of the Jurassic Park theme. I want the dumbest Trackmania server just running out of a closet in my house.
That'd be all right.
Jurassic Park. And you guys, this is a total tangent. I'm going to focus on a couple of these today. A
couple of tangents.
Have you guys heard the fucking song that is the Jeff Goldblum laugh song?
I have heard that.
Oh,
yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah. It's
if you haven't heard it, listeners, it's like a year old, so you fucking should.
All right,
if you haven't, then check it out. All
right, another 2-minute tangent here real quick.
Let's do it.
Jurassic World looks like shit, right? He's friends with the Velociraptors like they're fucking buddies?
See, here's the thing.
Fuck you!
The great thing about Jurassic Park was it was such like it was this whole great idea with a simple story.
Yeah.
It was literally just trying to get off the fucking island with a couple of animals that are not as smart as humans, but they're smart, right?
Right.
And a whole lot of people get eaten, and it's the whole idea of, should we fuck with nature or not?
Well,
the thing is, you look at the fucking trailer for Jurassic World and that huge, megalo whatever comes out of the water like it's SeaWorld,
yeah,
and grabs the pterodactyl out of the sky or whatever the hell they're dangling over it.
Right.
And it's just like, what the hell? Stop trying to make this into like this, like Star Trek-esque epic.
Right.
Just make it Jurassic Park. Make it dinosaurs and people running.
Yeah, and pick your tone too, because like when you come into this movie and it's like all like epic music and da 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 da. And then you show me he's got fucking trained dog raptors?
Yeah.
Fuck you! Pick a tone!
Exactly.
Well, and here's... If you go
with
back,
with a super dinosaur long-headed T-Rex?
Yeah.
Fuck you!
Well, if you go back and you watch... If you go back and watch the original Jurassic Park...
Yeah.
The tone, the story, the execution of Jurassic Park... is any zombie movie that you've ever seen.
Yes, absolutely.
Because
yeah.
it's a man-made drama situation with accompaniment.
Yes.
The zombies are not the threat.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs are just doing what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that they are killing you is your fault. It's man's fault.
Right, yeah.
And the problem with this execution is that, like, are they going to make that redhead lady the villain? They're like, oh, you made a new dinosaur, huh? Well, we kind of ran out of good ones, so whatever. And are the velociraptors going to have feathers?
Yeah.
I don't
know. I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, the other bullshit is that I'm so tired of the shit of, like, well, it's money. Like, we get it. There are people that are just obsessed with money and they're willing to do things that endanger other human beings. That's real. Okay, fine. I get it. But don't make it the fucking theme in every movie.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah. The only thing I have to say about it is, like, I'm sure it'll have fun action scenes, but here's the thing. This franchise has spawned one good fucking movie. That's it.
Yeah.
The other movies are garbage. Like,
yeah, three's
all,
kind of okay.
No, it's not.
No,
three
it's
is
not.
Terrible.
Three's way better than two.
No, it's not.
Fuck you.
There is a...
One is it where the T-Rex is in, like, Tokyo?
That's two.
Or something? That's two, okay.
That's two.
That
no,
scene
that's
made me laugh.
That's the T-Rex
a Godzilla reference, but that was it. Because, I mean, when... Yeah, that was funny. All right?
Oh,
that
God.
Was funny. When you see a bunch of, like, Japanese business fans running from... Godzilla!
I maintain that 3 has a raptor whistle. And that is just, like, the worst thing.
Yeah,
the Resonation Chamber, it seems fine.
Is Jeff Goldblum in the new one?
I have no idea.
If he is, I will buy a fucking ticket. But if he's not, I will probably wait for him.
All right, so let's stop talking about movies.
Yeah, let's move on to this movie.
We've done that way too much.
On this video game podcast, we're 22 minutes in.
So far, we haven't shut the fuck up.
So let's quickly go on to our only video game news of this news segment. That's just the Guitar Hero trailer. The Guitar Hero trailer.
Yeah, they unveiled Guitar Hero Live.
Yes.
It is this year's installment of the Guitar Hero franchise. The interesting thing is that Guitar Hero Live, new guitars, the game is entirely FMV.
Right.
When you're playing Guitar Hero Live.
Yes.
Now, there is a second piece to that that is the multiplayer piece, as well as where the DLC presumably will live.
Right.
That segment is called Guitar Hero TV.
Right.
The cool thing about this is that you can join channels as if it were...
Right.
Are you playing the trailer on the...
Stop. All right, we're going to get sued. Turn that off.
You're the worst guest on the podcast.
Sorry, I'm going to shut up.
All right, so the interesting thing is that Guitar Hero TV is where the extra songs will live. All of those songs will be the music video.
Right.
As opposed to FMV full performances.
That's pretty cool.
And we'll talk more about Guitar Hero Live here in a second, but the cool thing that I think could come out of Guitar Hero TV is that you join a channel as if it's like a fucking Twitch channel, except you're playing.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. Okay.
And so there's going to be like 1,000 people on a server, and you're all playing together, and it's ranking you.
Is this the same package you get for the game?
Yeah, it's in there.
It's all in there.
Yeah, so that's basically... They've gone and done, I don't know, they haven't said what the final track list is going to be for standard Guitar Hero Live, which is the single-player component. You know this game's only guitar, right?
Yeah.
No drums, no vocals,
no
bass.
Yeah, no bass.
Guitar. You can do two guitars, apparently, in the single-player mode, the FMV mode for Guitar Hero Live. But still no drums in the DLC part for Guitar Hero TV. But I think Guitar Hero TV is the better story, but I'm more excited about the Guitar Hero Live FMV shit because FMV is fucking dope! As I've said on this podcast many times!
FMB, baby. Yeah. And contrary to popular belief, it is not compressed poorly and half the size of the screen.
No.
So it's full HD.
It's not 16 colors like a Sega CD.
I did pose one awesome idea to this whole thing for a downloadable of a downloadable level for this where you play the theme to Night Trap. And as you play, you trap augers and traps that are trying to get on the stage.
Yeah. That would be the most amazing thing. Dana Plato. Don't leave us.
Dude, have her on there. Okay, is she alive?
No,
she died. That's right.
That was her last
I forgot. That's right. That's it. It seeped into my head the moment I said it. I was like,
what
wait.
Was she from Silver Spoons?
Yeah, Silver Spoons, I think, was one of the ones she was from.
Eight is enough.
One of those.
Start maybe 80 sitcoms like a fucking Family Guy episode for a while.
Small Wonder.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you play Bounty sponsor for Citizenship?
What was the show that spawned Perfect Strangers?
There was a show that spawned Perfect Strangers. It spawned Family Matters.
Oh, that's yeah, how it gets.
Yeah, yeah. Hillary was the wife. She was the elevator operator on their thing. Yeah, and it was
I did not
her,
know that.
Yeah, her. Carl, her husband, was actually on that show, but it wasn't played by what's
I'm
name?
Still so. Waiting for Carl on Duty Black Cops.
Carl on Duty Black Cops would be the best game. But yeah, like Guitar Hero Live. I mean, I've kind of dominated this segment. I'm actually
fine.
Really excited about it.
I don't know anything else about it other than the trailer to watch. So
I'm more excited about Rock Band 5, four, Rock Band 4.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the idea that my hundreds of downloaded tracks that I paid money for last generation, they come over.
That is all, great. Yeah, that's great.
Right.
All
that's
your old instruments that you were thinking about taking to Goodwill still work. So if you had a 360 and you have an Xbox One now, or if you had a PS3 and you went to a PS4, all of your old stuff still works.
Right.
I don't know, though. I feel like it might be... Like, I used to have those. I don't have them anymore.
They're going to have new instruments.
I know, but I don't know if that many people still have them.
Yeah.
So it's the only thing.
I don't know. You can get them all at Goodwill.
Delay.
And plus, I don't know. It's been so long since I have dropped a couple hundo for some instruments that, you know, when November rolls around, and if Rock Band reviews well, I'll buy that. I'm not sold on Guitar Hero Live yet. I like the fact that Guitar Hero Live... They're not bringing any old DLC. They're not using old instruments because it's a new guitar. It's only guitar. Yeah. It's now, instead of being a 5-button game all across the top, it's a 3 up top, 3 down below.
Right.
So you can do, you know, the you know your basic rhythm parts, go down to the bottom 3 buttons to do your solos. It still has a star power button. It's got a whammy bar.
Nice.
I've heard things about them possibly doing effects pedals.
That is the one thing that I wish they had, and if they do that, I will buy the game.
Interesting.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things that they can do, but I personally love getting a wireless headset, wearing that on my head, and playing drums, singing and playing drums at the same time like I'm Steven Tyler. Because he used to do that.
Yeah.
Back before Aerosmith was famous, he was the drummer and the singer.
He was the drummer and the singer.
But yeah, like I'm a big fan of Rock Band. Odds are I'll probably buy that first, unless Guitar Hero is getting ready to come out and people are freaking out.
Yeah.
Because like I know how to play guitar.
Yeah.
I was a guitarist in a band for years. Playing a game of simulating that doesn't do a ton for me, but I've never been a drummer.
Yeah.
And I'd really like to know how to do that.
Yeah.
So whenever those games came out, I gravitated to the drums.
One can complain that they're pretty gimmicky, but it's a good gimmick. So, you know,
well, and most people are never going to actually learn how to play guitar, and they're going to have a couple of buddies over and goof off.
It is,
It's stupid fun. It's, it doesn't require you have to learn the instrument.
That's the thing that gets me is that Rock Band is all the way a leg up, even though it's still the same formula.
Yeah.
It's still got all those old tracks.
Yeah, yeah.
But
pretty.
It's inherently more of a party game because it's a four-player game.
It's true.
Yeah.
And granted, most people only played it as a three-player game because nobody ever wanted to sing.
Nobody wanted to
sing.
I'll sing.
Fuck it. Let's do it. Put on Creep again. I'll sing Creep. Because I'm a creep.
How many times did we get a fucking Cops call on us and rock them for some
We swore we weren't talking about college anymore.
No more college talk.
Where we lived in college and...
You will get me fired from my job for the war crime that we committed 15 years ago.
I think we need to do this background check on Rocky.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on there.
We retroactively do a background check. Pull a hair out of him. Let's see what we can find. No, I'm excited for both of them. It's Dude, and fucking Tony Hawk is coming back this year.
Yeah, a lot of...
That is pretty exciting.
Well, and did you see what they're fucking calling it?
No.
They haven't officially announced it yet, but pictures leaked out.
What's that?
Tony Hawk 5. Like, it's a legit, real motherfucking Tony Hawk from upstairs. Fuck you, yes!
Yeah. At this point, there's Tony Hawk called Tony Hawk Medicare.
Tony Hawk 5, The Hawkening.
I like that Tony Hawk totally, endorses the fact that he's old. He's like, yeah, I'm old, I get it. That's like half of what he says on Twitter is like, yeah, I know.
Like an AARP discount for the game, and you can buy it.
He was fairly old when he became famous, like, way famous.
That was very latter era of his career. So. I mean, I think he's like 46, 47 now, and he's up there. But he can still do a 900, which... holy shit.
Yeah.
I can barely ride down the street on one.
He's good at that skateboarding thing. Yes. I've heard that. I've heard he's pretty good at
that. I think it's about time that whole fad goes away.
Yeah. So, what about Jet Set Radio? Is that coming back? Is that...
Oh, if only.
If only.
Jet Set Rodeo?
Jet Set Rodeo! That's the new installment in the series. Sega, get on that.
Jet Set Rodeo!
Jet Set Rodeo!
Alright, let's move on. I clearly can't talk well today. So.
Moving on to our discussion of the day. We're talking Mortal Kombat. Hey, we actually hit the 30-minute mark. That's usually when we do that. So, alright, we're talking about Mortal Kombat, the controversial fighting game that basically started the rating system for all of video games that we all now have to have. The M-rated, all that jazz. That originated with the original Mortal Kombat. And it's blood.
And
so.
Also helped Sega grab an even more substantial portion of the U.S. games market.
Yes.
They did that through creating their own rating system for games and released an unedited, uncensored version of Mortal Kombat that made the Super Nintendo version look like garbage.
Yeah.
Not to mention, beyond there not being blood in that Super Nintendo version... That version was shit anyway, but then when you stack in, fucking Nintendo's for babies!
That whole thought process, the marketing done in the war for, in that war was pretty...
Yeah, well, Nintendo is what Genesis isn't, okay? So let's move on.
I don't know that's how it went, but...
I don't know, I may have gotten that wrong.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's wrong. But yeah, you know, it's a classic game. I remember the first time I saw it was Aladdin's Castle in Jefferson Mall way back in the day.
Nice.
Didn't know what that was. Had never... Only fighting game I ever knew of was Street Fighter and Pit Fighter. That was it.
Yeah.
And Pit Fighter was garbage. And Street Fighter was fun. But, you know, here's this thing with, like, oh, they look like real people. And like, I'm like, this is pretty interesting. And then I see a guy uppercut a dude's head off. And I'm like, what? This is a thing that can happen. You know, it opened up a whole new world. And I think the first thing I saw was Scorpion, like, doing his, you know, get over here move. And blood coming off of somebody's chest as a spike is put into it. And for...
Get over here for me.
Yeah.
Like you said with the arcade.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was at the Fun Dome, which was like a roller skating rink.
Right.
Know, and that was the first time I saw it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was the same thing as soon as I heard, get over here!
Yeah, it was amazing. It was ridiculous.
My first experience was at the Skate World in suburban Detroit.
Ah,
nice.
It was...
Which actually now is a meth factory where you can also challenge the Lord.
I'm fairly certain...
You can also challenge the Lord of the Meth Factory.
It actually now has turned into the game Pit Fighter, so believe it or not.
I'm pretty sure Detroit in general is just a meth factory.
Easy.
I'm dissing your hometown.
I know for a fact we have fans from Detroit.
I apologize. I'm kidding.
I as well apologize. Yes. It's a nice place. I was there yesterday.
Yeah. Metro Airport. Pretty nice.
Yeah, it is actually. It's kind of like Willy Wonka's factory, really. And you got like the epilepsy tunnel, right, where you go through and it plays sounds and pretty much almost gives you a seizure. And then you got like the cool little like tram thing that goes around. It really, it's kind of, and then you got the fountain.
They spent a lot of money for you to be able to connect through there.
I know.
Nobody's really stopping there, but you're connecting through there.
And they do a lot of things. So, I'm sorry, this is a rabbit hole we shouldn't go down. Continue, Brendan.
Right. But no, that's pretty cool. Your experience was in that.
Yeah, it was Skate World. I remember, and you know, most people have, and this is kind of a weird thing to think about, but, you know, most people have that quintessential game sound effect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. some people, it's the Pac-Man power pellet sound.
Right.
You know, other people,
Death
it's
of Mario.
The, yeah. the coin sound from Mario. Mm-hmm.
Right.
The sword from the original Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
The victory sound from Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
Mine is the initiating a fatality sound. It is ingrained in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
And it is incredibly satisfying every time I hear it.
Agreed. Yeah.
And, you know, I guess, you know, I don't know how you guys want to structure this. We can talk about favorite entries first, or we can kind of run through what the series was.
We can run through the series was, because I want to get to the... We have write-ins for this week, which is great. I want to get those to those at the end and do all that stuff. So we'll go into the history of what this was, and
I can do a little bit of that.
Sure.
Mortal Kombat 1 is looked back on as, you know, probably one of the most influential games of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Launched in 92. The game was really remarkable for its time, for its use of graphics that were all based off of pictures of real people.
Mm-hmm.
So they put real people into fake backgrounds, and it got you closer to that point where this is finally that moment where people started saying, like, oh man, pretty soon games are just going to be fucking real.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to tell the difference, because look, there's a dude in it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'll tell you now, I mean, this was coming about at the same time, but, you know, FMV games and that whole multimedia interactive television design aesthetic.
Sure.
A lot of that really got pushed forward quickly by the success of Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you notice that most games that were actually FMV were usually incredibly violent.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're into that, motherfucker, let's play Clockmarker's Hell or whatever.
Sewer Shark.
Hey, whoa, easy. Six. Fiver. Fuck it.
Are we the only two people
three,
that remember
Sewer Shark? Yeah, I really like, you know, what that game looked like at the time. I would say, if you were to return to Mortal Kombat today, that game does not hold up very well.
Right.
But very influential. Had a cast of seven fighters?
Eight. Seven.
I believe it's seven.
Let's count them off. Liu Kang, Raiden, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Sonya Blade, Kano.
There's only six?
There might be only six.
There might be only six. Yeah, the original game, small cast of characters,
mm-hmm.
But the what it did for that firestorm of getting parents to talk about, like, what's okay at the arcade for kids to... did anybody have an arcade in your neighborhood where they had the adult section? Were you
no.
had to be 13 to go in?
No.
Quite a few arcades did this. Due to parent outcry, there were a lot of M-rated games that came out in the wake of Mortal Kombat. Mm. There were a lot of... It was basically like swinging saloon doors in a porn shop.
Right.
Where it's like, here's the NES games for your kids to look at while you go and look at all the weird porn tapes.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it was a firestorm to say the least. I mean, you know, there were congressional hearings, all sorts of shit in the wake of the original Mortal Kombat. Now, do you remember when Mortal Kombat came out on the Genesis, what they called that day?
No.
Mortal Monday.
Mortal Monday.
And do you remember when Mortal Kombat 2 came out?
No.
Mortal Kombat Tuesday.
Because it's the second one.
Yes. You know, like, there were a couple other things, I guess, that are notable about the original Mortal Kombat. Stage fatality, you had the pit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The second game really expanded upon that. The second game was a lot more interesting. It's a lot of people's favorite game in the series. Those people are wrong, and that's fine. But that's definitely where that became a video game.
Right.
More than just kind of a, I won't say glorified tech demo, but I'll say a shallow experience.
A novelty.
There was not a lot of depth. I mean, like, the people that were playing Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter Turbo and shit, they were looking at Mortal Kombat going, like, what the fuck is wrong with you juvenile assholes?
You're absolutely right. 2 is when it became an actual game. A lot more mechanics were introduced, et cetera, et cetera.
New characters. Shao Kahn, way better than Shang Tsung. Yeah,
completely better. Just better everything, really. Like, it's just, it was like one of the perfect sequels. It was just the first game ramped up and better.
So. I have a complaint for Mortal Kombat 2 and Mortal Kombat 3. It's that the the Goro replacements just felt dumb.
Yeah.
Motaro and Kintaro, I thought, were just kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Very, almost impossible to fight in any kind of traditional way.
Yeah.
But that sort of is something that became a staple for the entire series, is that the last two bosses fucking suck.
Yeah.
You know, they're almost impossible to fight. You're going to have to luck this out.
They're cheap assholes, and you just got to exploit something.
Your 50 cents will get you all the way up the ladder, and then you'll have to do that doubles fight. You'll probably get through that, but then once you get to the bosses...
I just remember as a kid, like, thinking, oh, there's got to be some kind of, like, AI behind this that is what's causing me to die constantly.
Right, yeah.
Like, I was like, they're predicting my moves, and they know what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
like,
they know every move.
That was the first time I thought, like, our computer overlords are trying to fuck me.
Yeah.
Well, it was very unlike what you got out of older arcade games. Older arcade games were designed for you to lose a quarter every 3 minutes.
Right.
And that one was, we'll let you play for a while, and then you're going to be so close to the end that we're just going to attach a vacuum to your pocket.
Right, yeah.
And just suck it out of you.
Yeah.
Which I pay good money for in the streets.
A lot of good money.
Just look me up on Tinder.
We weren't going to talk about
But yeah, so Mortal Kombat 2, more stage fatalities. That game introduced multi-stage arenas, where in certain stages you could uppercut somebody and you would end up in another level. And
yes.
Really fucking cool.
That's right.
You know, and the stage fatalities became a much more integrated set, in the sense that every character had a stage fatality move.
Right.
It wasn't just, we'll uppercut him and he'll go in the acid or whatever. You actually had to do a traditional fatality.
Yeah.
The second ones where they added, you know, friendship and babalities and all the fun stuff that's...
Brutalities and...
Brutalities was Trilogy.
They added brutalities, and they should have.
You know, if you... shut up, Red Boom will listen to you and put it in there. Because that guy is...
Come on, add a brutality. Maybe, like, both guys, like, suddenly polo shirts and pop the collars.
Right, pop the collars.
On some wayfarers and hug each other, hug it out.
They all just become Johnny Cage.
Exactly. Hug it out.
So Mortal Kombat 2, a whole new cast of characters. They added quite a few, you know, classics like Baraka that are still wildly popular even today.
Oh, yeah.
Dude had that sweet knife swiping move that I always really liked, where he's like, ah, ha, ha, I'm a blender.
Oh, that one.
That was pretty great.
I like his backhand more than anything. When you back up, whack.
Yeah.
The cast of female characters expanded. You got Melina and Katana in that game.
Melina, the best character in the game to play as. So
apparently, the highest on the stat ladders.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say about Melina is that I just don't like fucking playing as her. Like, I'll take Katana any day, but honestly, I'd rather not play as either.
Yeah.
But what else? Mortal Kombat 3.
Right.
Mortal Kombat 3 is probably, up until this point, definitely the grandest departure of them all. Number one with a bullet.
Yeah.
Fucking Scorpion wasn't in that game.
Yeah, I know. That was...
Yeah.
Holy that was, shit!
I don't know what they were thinking.
I respected the fuck out of that.
Yeah?
You know, they're
making an X-Men movie without Wolverine.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
It's just
you know, I'd be okay with that.
Really?
They'd be okay. Just put, like, Jubilee and that ice guy in there. That'd be alright.
That would be an okay movie. Actually.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
She'd be shooting fireworks. He'd be like, I don't know, I can make some ice cubes.
Jude's gonna be the new one, so
yeah.
There you go. It's gonna be great.
Pretty cool.
No, it is kind of gutsy to go without your mainstay character. I kind of forgot that he wasn't in it until somebody reminded me of that, and it's like
he does not show up until Ultimate Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
3,
Ultimate
which
Mortal Kombat
3 is the best entry, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Right.
Mortal Kombat 3 has a lot of really fucking awesome shit going for it.
Mm-hmm.
And a ton of new characters. You know, you get fucking Cyrax and Sektor, the fucking robots.
The robots.
I fucking love the robots. They expand the story of this is where Shao Kahn, after losing in Mortal Kombat 2, brings hell on Earth.
Yeah.
So all of the environments are no longer like, here's this weird temple fucking place. It's like, no, this is like, here's a L.A. fucking overpass.
Yeah.
And, yo, there is like a portal to hell in the background. Like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed 3. Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, you know, definitely added to that by adding more characters. But the biggest thing for me from a gameplay perspective is that Mortal Kombat 3 is the first time that the gameplay system changed.
Yeah.
Now, Mortal Kombat has done this several times since, But the introduction of what people now refer to as the dial-a-combo system probably, and the run button.
The run button.
Are two of the most important things ever. When you combine the run button with the new cast of characters and the dial-a-combo system, it made all the old characters feel like kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you... Especially the first time I ever played against a guy who knew how to play Cabal, I was like, oh my god.
Cabal is the most broken character in that game, period.
He's nothing now. But when you first played against him, his moveset was so weird.
Oh yeah.
And he had so many moves that came from behind you. But traditionally, most moves that came from behind your character involved your character somehow teleporting.
Right.
He could stay alone, and it would flip you at him for juggles.
For juggles.
And I fucking love that shit.
You love the juggles. You know, he's got the run-by move that makes you spin.
Yeah.
Just a lot of stuff that really just incapacitates you and sets you up to just get fucked.
And completely upsets everything that you've learned so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get to a certain point, and you're like, oh, I've got this down. Fuck!
Fuck you, Cabal! Like, you know, but it's a fair entry, you know. So, he had a hook sword. It's not fair. Like, what a jerk.
Another thing I think that's important to touch on here, talking about home ports again,
right,
is that Mortal Kombat 3 is the point in time where Mortal Kombat on the Super Nintendo looked and played a lot better than it did on the Genesis.
Yeah.
All the sound effects sounded better, the sprites looked better, the backgrounds were clearer, that game was considerably better on the SNES.
I would argue the sound was always better on the SNES than on Genesis, typically in all cases, but...
There's something to that Genesis sound chip that for the music I liked. There's a grodiness to that. It's kind of like if you ever listen to something that's made on a Commodore 64 sound chip.
Yeah.
Grodiness.
It's kind of just almost like industrial... snarl that I really like.
It kind of sounds like everything's being played inside an amp instead of coming out of it.
It's like there's a concert going on in there, but I'm not a part of it.
Right. it's like you record it on your phone. And
I live above a nightclub.
Yeah. I'll watch it later.
It's all good.
Mortal Kombat 3, like that, the home ports for that game, Mortal Kombat 3 in its forms, whether it's Ultimate or Standard, has been on fucking everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the Xbox 360. It's on the PS3. It's on phones. It's on the DS. It's on the Saturn.
Is it on iOS now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it on the Wii U?
I don't know if... I don't believe that Mortal Kombat Collection came to the Wii or the Wii U.
Yeah, I don't think it did either.
But it was just everywhere.
Right.
And it's a very divisive game.
Yeah.
For the people who are really ardent fans of Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah.
But it's definitely... is it not on there?
No.
Is that on it?
Is it?
No.
Okay.
Cheat codes and shit.
I'm pretty sure it's on iOS.
Let me see. I want multiplayer for Minecraft. Damn it, I don't want that.
But it's absolutely a game that, even to this day, still gets re-released.
Right.
It's not Exodus. Exodus is available on iOS, but slimmed down version.
Believe it or not, their ports to mobile are really impressive. Their Injustice Gods Among Us was really good.
Yeah.
Their WWE Immortals game is pretty good.
Why the hell is that not a full game instead of a tap game? Like, I want that to be a full game.
Because you don't want to do that on a phone?
Well, no. I mean, like, make it an actual game. Like, a real game on a console.
I don't know.
Come on, man. It'd be the best thing ever.
I don't know.
Yeah, it would.
I'd rather play WWE Supercard, but that's just me.
I had that idea to, like, make that into, like, some goofy fighting game and make everybody, like, ridiculous. Like do a WWE game that is Def Jam. Like, that'd be the best thing
ever. No, but you can... Trust me, when you play Supercard, like, the cards walk out to the ring and they dance around.
Okay, that's cool.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I hate everything about that idea. Go on.
Let's not forget, before I move on from Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, unless anybody else has anything to say, the best character in the entire series is unveiled, Striker.
Striker, yeah. No, he's not. But whatever.
Well, he was unveiled in 3, but he's absolutely fantastic.
Was he unveiled? Yes. Best character?
No.
All I can say is, come try to get a fucking piece of me. All right? And the reason...
I will kill you to the point you have to use a hearthstone to get back home.
Fuck you, hearthstone.
No, hearthstone.
You're right.
But yeah, the thing I really love about Stryker is that he's just like this paunchy, shitty cop with a backwards hat.
That's it.
He's statistically one of the worst characters
he's
in
like
the game.
Gary Busey of characters.
Getting
goofy.
This is the fighting game thing. If you guys have never really been that into fighting games,
mm-hmm.
getting really good at Dan in Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Striker
yeah.
in
Mortal yeah.
Kombat.
Yeah.
And just fucking someone up with him.
I will say, it from that perspective, yeah, I get it. Because, like, getting good at Dan, that's pretty... That's, like, the ultimate...
His super is a taunt!
It's
How
true.
Does that make any sense? Why do I have to use a whole meter for that? Alright, but, yeah. So, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, introduction of the best character ever.
Right.
You know, still wildly heralded today. And the last entry in the series that used the filmed sprites, the
right.
actual
yeah.
character portraits.
Yeah, it went to all the regular type. Did they ever mocap? They did mocap after all that.
After that, they went to full. It wasn't actually polygonal. They used a really weird technology from Mortal Kombat 4.
Right.
Mortal Kombat 4. When you saw it in the arcade for the first time, was the craziest looking game you'd ever seen.
Yeah.
It looks weird. And the problem was the technology that they used to make it is for proprietary Midway hardware for the arcade and does not port well to traditional polygonal hardware.
Interesting.
And it's one of the reasons that you almost never see Mortal Kombat 4 ported anywhere.
It's true. It
doesn't help that it's not that loved.
Right.
A lot of the reasons it's not that loved is that this is yet another reinvention of the gameplay mechanics.
Yes. That was the first time you had a 3D world, correct? Where
yes.
you had the sidesteps and all that.
First time they added weapons and stance switches?
Yes, that's right. That was the first
time. I just remember being really awkward for me to play it.
Yeah.
That was the...
It was a challenge to get used to what was going on. I enjoyed it because it was a revamp into something new. I remember not liking 3 that much for some reason. I can't remember what it was. I think just because it was really fucking hard.
Could it be that, like, Jade would destroy you with an
Yeah, like,
combo?
Jade would just kill me. I always like to pick Sindel. That's probably why. No. No one liked to pick Sindel. I could never get it to fly properly. Yeah, no one could because it was awful. But, no, it just, there was something about it that
she
I...
screamed at you.
I thought it was a good game. I just, like, I wasn't that... I was kind of getting out of it for some reason. Like, there was just something about, like, the franchise. I was like, seen it, and it's kind of moving on to something
else.
Well,
almost, at that point, in 97?
Seven, I want to say.
97, 98 is when that game came out. Almost everything. It's almost like they're bringing Pogs back again. It's like,
right,
here's your favorite franchise in 3D!
Yeah.
And,
so,
you know, it was... it came out as an arcade-only game, and Midway was still very big into the arcade business, and most every other franchise was being debuted or soon after followed by a console port that was as good or in the ballpark as the arcade games.
Yeah.
Now, the PlayStation 1 port, the N64 port, is atrocious.
Atrocious. That was bad, yeah.
It is horrible.
It's really not good.
Really, the only good home port that I feel like Mortal Kombat 4 ever got was for the Dreamcast, which was Mortal Kombat Gold, which was a year later.
Okay.
That port at the launch of the Dreamcast had everything in the world stacked against it. You know what that was?
What's that?
Fucking Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
Good luck getting anybody to care about your year and a half old port. Who cares if it's arcade perfect? Look at that! It's Soul Calibur!
Interesting thing, I remember that not getting a lot of hype, too, even when it came out on the arcade and everything. There wasn't the hype surrounding that MK3 had and MK2 and all that. I remember when one of those new arcade games came out, swarms of people just around there. Arcades were kind of dying a bit at that point. They weren't dead, but they were going out.
There was a lot going on at that time that involved the changing of hands of publishing.
Yeah.
If you remember, if you go back and play all those games, like MK1 and MK2 were published by Acclaim.
Yeah.
Even though they were Midway developed, and then 3 was Williams, and then 4 was the first official Midway published one, even though Williams and Midway were the same thing, but they were two arms of a company, so it's like, you know, one hand doesn't even know what the other's doing. And at that time, Midway proper was spending a lot of their money marketing their most successful franchise at that time, which was NFL Blitz,
right,
which was making them a ton of money in arcades.
True.
They were spending a lot of money making entries in the Rush franchise, which those machines were walking out the door to arcades for $15,000 and $20,000 a pop.
Right.
I mean, what are you going to spend more money focusing on?
Yeah.
What's making you $20,000 walking out the door instead of $20,000?
Right.
And so, yeah, that game didn't have a ton of hype behind it. The reception in the arcades had been so timid that I felt like they've always been really smart about not overbetting with Mortal Kombat.
Mm.
Like, there are certain entries that get a lot of hype and do really well. It's like they actually sit down before the entries come out and go, how good is this really?
Right, yeah.
And actually, not just, well, I cross your fingers, motherfucker!
It's got MK on it.
Oh, God, we really need this to hit.
Shove it out. So.
But, yeah, so Mortal Kombat 4, you know, I don't think it's a bad game. I think if you go back to it today, it's better than you remember it being.
Yeah.
Especially once you play Deadly Alliance, which was the first console-only mainline Mortal Kombat game.
Yep.
That was for the PS2, the GameCube, and the Xbox. That refined that formula.
It did.
And continued to hone it. You still had the stance switching, you still had the weapon stances. Four, Deadly Alliance, Deception, and Armageddon all maintain that same gameplay style.
Yep.
The interesting thing about Deadly Alliance, Deception, and Armageddon is not the fighting mechanics. Here, like, this is where the cast of characters, your Quan Chis of the world, and Kenshi, and
Blind Kenshi.
It started getting really complicated with all these new characters, and they killed so many off, and they were constantly trying to keep it fresh. Total props.
Right.
And I always played every one of them and loved them, but I was loving them less and less. The great thing that they did in the console era, though, was that they started adding weird modes.
Yeah.
Like your fucking motor combat,
right?
The kart racing game,
the kart racer,
the puzzle game that was basically fucking Tetris, the combat chess, that was awesome.
The combat chess, we should be okay. All right, I don't know what it's saying. It's almost full. It doesn't make sense. But anyway.
Starter disc.
Yeah, so I don't have a lot on here, so I don't know. Anyway, but still going, so we're fine. Where was that?
You're talking about another mode that was in there?
Oh, yeah. They also had the that graveyard mode where you would unlock things. Throughout
The crypt.
The crypt mode.
And like everything in that series.
Cool. That was cool, yeah.
Seas do not exist!
Seas don't exist in Mortal Kombat, motherfucker.
Except in Scorpion.
And Quan Chi.
It's a hard kick.
Yeah. And Quan Chi. That's also, yeah. See, I could probably name a few.
Yeah.
Bo Wright Cho, he was one.
Well, hard C's.
Hard C's, yeah,
don't
it's true.
Exist.
Not the Cha. Gotcha. But yeah, no, I really dug those Deadly Alliance, I missed Deception somehow. I somehow missed that one, but I played Armageddon as well. I liked those games a lot. I liked that format, that formula. It was refreshing. It was like 4. Like I said, 4 was like a refreshing take on it. And then it was made into something that was like, oh, this is refined and good, and I like
I didn't love all the combat in that era. Like, 4, Deadly Alliance, Deception, and especially Armageddon, because I hate that roll-your-own fatality system that they had in there.
Right.
I thought that was... It was like they had admitted we ran out of ideas for fatalities, so I don't know, you make them. I didn't like that.
I don't know, man, you do it.
I felt like it was cool that they did it once, and, you know, they got that out of their system, and they tried it, and it was not great.
Right.
But I like all the side stuff that's in all those. The best game, I think, of that generation of Mortal Kombat games is the first one for the 360 generation, this most previous generation of consoles, Mortal Kombat vs. DC Universe. I don't like comic books.
That was a fun game, though.
That game was fucking awesome.
It was fun.
Green Lantern would fucking rip.
Yeah, exactly.
That is so weird that you enjoy that game.
Green Lantern is the fucking Molina of that game.
But from you, you enjoy things that are, you know, like, that are, you know, that actually society enjoys as well. Hoss is not one of those guys.
Yeah, and he's like,
I actually never did get to play that one.
All right, let me give you the pitch.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so it's a lot like Injustice Gods Among Us in this way.
Sure.
In the sense that it's got a story mode.
Right.
And there's the Mortal Kombat guys, and there's the DC Universe guys, and a rift has erupted between the two dimensions, and they're pouring into one another.
Right, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's really cool!
Yeah, no, yeah, it sounded amazing when I first did it. For some reason, it just kind of fell off my radar.
What's a big comic nerd like me? The bad guy from Superman, like Dirk Nowitzki, who's the rich guy? And
Lex Luthor?
There you go. He's awesome in that
game. Dirk Nowitzki, that's it. You nailed it.
That was on Games with Gold a while back, wasn't it?
Yeah, they gave that away.
Yeah.
Because they were like, hey, you know, there's a new Mortal Kombat coming out. I don't know. Maybe get back into that, Ann. I don't know.
But it was interesting to see them try and grab onto the, you know, the Marvel versus Capcom DLE. They wanted to... DC was looking for that for a long time, I remember that. They wanted to capitalize on that because they saw how well the Marvel superheroes, the X-Men games, those fighting games did really well
for
Marvel.
If it wasn't for that partnership, I don't believe that Warner Brothers would have bought NetherRealm Studios in the wake of Midway shutting down. Now, after they made DC Universe, they went on and made another Mortal Kombat, but... that game ended up getting finished and published by Warner Brothers, but you saw what they had them do next. They were like, "Hey, we got all these DC characters. Let's just make games." And they did, and it was awesome.
Yes, yes.
So let's not completely skip off of DC Universe yet. I mean, that game is kind of it is the last Mortal Kombat game that has what some people consider a flaw.
Right.
That whole generation of Mortal Kombat games took place on a 3D plane.
Right.
Which gave you the ability to do one thing that kind of pisses some people off. Mm. You can sidestep projectiles.
Right, yeah.
And after that, they haven't done that anymore since then.
Right.
I don't think there's a problem with sidestepping projectiles. I think it's kind of cool.
Right.
And because they gave you an alternative to that. You can step in and you have weapons and do your projectiles at a mid-range instead of long-range.
Right, yeah.
And, if you're batting out shit fast enough, it's never an issue.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, if you're playing against anybody who knows how to play video games, like, guess what? If you throw a projectile at them, half the time they're going to block anyway.
Yeah, they know. They know what's going on if you're playing anybody.
But most people who play Mortal Kombat are the most casual of fighting game fans.
It's true.
And most people never block.
Yeah, no. You say it's casual. It absolutely is. Like, you know, the hardcore guys, they go for Tekken and Calibur and Street Fighter.
Wait, whoa, then.
What?
No, they're not.
What?
No, the hardcore guys are going for... Street Fighter and Marvel versus Capcom.
Well, yeah, but Tekken's one of them too.
That game barely even rates.
Does it?
Yeah, if you go to Evo, I don't even think that's on the main floor.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, like Soul Calibur, like those are just slop fest, man. That and Smash Brothers and all that stuff just don't even rate.
Well, yeah, Smash Brothers doesn't. Smash Brothers isn't a fighting game; it's a party game. It's not a fighting.
But I just consider that in the same realm of you can have a whole lot of fun in those.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can bust out some Paul would mess you up, man. But I never hone my Tekken skills.
Right.
But you always pick it up and you're like, it's still pretty fucking good.
You just pick Eddie Gordo and win.
I'm gonna be this bear and he's gonna sit on it. There's a certain amount of I consider Soul Calibur and Tekken to be in the Mortal Kombat group of these are the fighting games for normal people.
Okay, yeah.
Human beings.
All right. Where would you put Killer Instinct?
That is the game for nobody.
Right.
No one. Hey, except that new one for the Xbox One. The game's incredible.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
The new one is incredible.
I haven't played the new one.
The new one is incredible.
It's all about the combos with that one. It's very interesting. So.
Sounds like it might be incredible.
Yeah, it might be incredible.
It's incredible.
The combos, Chichi Combo.
Dude, the announcer in this game is still one of my favorite things of this generation, man.
Yeah.
I love that the longer your combo gets,
yeah,
the louder the announcer gets, to the point where he's just like, Ultra, come on! Like, this is great! Yeah, I fucking... That new Killer Instinct, man. That is... considering I had nothing but complete and utter disdain for anyone that would dare insinuate that I would ever play that game. That is a real big success.
It's a good game, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
He actually has 2 assaults on his criminal record in both times they suggested he play the game.
He play Killer Instinct.
They didn't call a fan. They didn't say you love it. They suggested that he played it once at an arcade.
I'm well known for my...
hit them on the head with a mailbox.
I'm well known for my Killer Instinct-related hate crimes. I got a record.
Oh, man.
But yeah, And from there, you end up, for after Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, you end up with the Mortal Kombat 9, which is the Mortal Kombat reboot, which is widely heralded as one of the best in the franchise. If someone told me that it is their favorite, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Right.
Huge cast of characters in that
game.
Tons of fatalities.
They make Sektor and Cyrax into a character, an actual character.
Big 12-hour story mode in that game where you play as every character throughout the course of that story.
Fucking
incredible game.
Great story.
Injustice Gods Among Us came after that, and then you end up with
MKX.
Where we're at today, Mortal Kombat X. You guys saw me commit some fatalities earlier. What do you think about that?
That was pretty disgusting and brutal. I loved it.
So. That's one of the best games I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, graphically, I think that's one of the best games I've ever seen in my life.
It's pretty gorgeous.
It runs so fast. It looks so gross.
I am one of those guys that is super into fighting game characters and how they fit into the universe in which they exist. Probably one of my favorite ones, this is outside of Mortal Kombat, the new character Hisako in Killer Instinct. Absolutely phenomenal character that fits into that universe. That's what I always love, is when like a character is placed in there and you're like, that guy looks like he belongs in Mortal Kombat, or that guy looks like he belongs in Street Fighter. Something about art design's always been a big deal for me. These new characters all look great. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
The insect lady, don't know her name. Master Blaster, don't know his name. The Western guy, like... They all look fucking. They all look fucking cool. Like everything about this game just looks rad as shit, and I love it.
So. I haven't gotten super far into it. I just got it the other day. The game came out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We're
doing a versus, by the way. That's happening.
Yeah, we're gonna be doing a series of Video Destruct versus, where we're gonna play that. Expect me to win. But
I'm gonna practice, damn it.
But yeah, I've gotten about 3 hours into the story mode. If you've read any of the reviews, which I'm sure if you're interested in Mortal Kombat at all, you probably have. The story, the reboot was a reboot of Mortal Kombat 1-3, kind of a retelling of all the events of those games. This game continues after that. This is 4 through the PlayStation 2 trilogy.
Right.
From what I can tell, it goes through the whole thing. I'm not sure. But, you know, a lot of those characters are back. Kotokan and, Chinook and Quan Chi and all those. They're here.
Yeah.
Quan Chi was actually in the reboot a few years ago.
Right.
Just so that they could kind of say, like, hey, he was here the whole time. We just didn't really mount eyes. He's not that bad of a character, is he?
We introduce him later. It's okay.
Yeah, Quan Chi sucks. Let's face that.
He sucked in 4. He was good in Deadly Alliance.
Quan Chi is great in this game for one reason, though.
Why is that?
I'll tell you this. Because when Quan Chi shows up in the story mode, guess who he brings back with him?
Shang Tsung?
Zombie Striker.
Okay, Zombie Striker. There you go.
But bring back a playable character, apparently, so fuck you!
I like to bring back the Zombo.
I can't play a Striker, then why not? Let's see my game!
You're going to reach a pitch at one point. No one's going to be able to hear it. So, like, your dog's just going to start barking.
Your dog's going to go apeshit over the corner. You will have made your point.
Oh, man. But that's pretty much a concise
We got to do one last
correct?
Thing.
Okay.
That's our history.
Yeah, that's the history.
Favorite games.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. That's a concise history. We're going to go into what's your favorite
Viewer
game
mail!
Of this. We're going to go into ours right here. What's your favorite game of that series? Nate, you're a guest. Why don't you go ahead?
gotta be number two.
Number two? Yeah. MK2, the dose?
Yeah, exactly. Because it was, yeah. Well, so here was the thing. So I grew up with a mom who was a first grade teacher.
So the Bloody Games.
The Bloody Games typically weren't allowed in the house, and I had a friend actually from church, and I would go hang out with him.
Right, yeah.
And we would go up and play the arcade version of it.
Right.
It was a roller rink next to his house. And, yeah, it was great because, you know, we would leave his house and his mom would always look at me and say, like, now, I know your mom doesn't want you to play that Mortal Kombat game, so don't you play it. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll play it. Yeah, and we'd, like, run out the door.
Got it.
Yeah, got it. Cool. So, yeah, that was my favorite just because I spent so many hours just, like, rebelling against everything. Yeah, just playing like, that thing with my buddy at this, like, seedy friggin' roller rink, you know, with, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah, it was a creepy-ass place, but it was a great game.
Sam in the trench coat over in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. So. You walk outside, and there's, like, a panel van with, like, free candy spray painted on the side, you know.
That was my van.
Oh, did you do that?
Yeah, it was cool. Sweet. Anyway.
I got these fatalities, baby.
Why
don't you come on in?
Hey, kiddo.
I'll suck your dick.
You want to see the new animality?
No, I don't.
I fell for that last week. I don't want to see your animality.
I want to see your animality.
Two is my favorite character.
Favorite character. We're going to go with the... We're going to keep going to who our favorite game is first.
Okay.
And we'll come back to character. My favorite game actually goes to Deadly Alliance. That got me back into the series. It was long after I hadn't been playing it. I actually really enjoy that fighting stance system a lot. And it just added something new that I'd never really... I'm sure it was probably in a certain game somewhere that I never played, but that was the first time I ever saw that system, and I really enjoyed it. I got good with a lot of people in that game. Blind Kenshi was amazingly good. I actually got really good with Sonya Blade. I was never good with Sonya in any of the other ones, but in Deadly Alliance, I got really good. Plus, you kill Liu Kang at the very beginning. Fuck Liu Kang. So,
Liu Kang sucks shit.
Yeah, he dies right at the beginning. And you're like, fuck yes, get him. Like, that's why Quan Chi rules in that one and not in any other one. Because he kills Liu Kang. Oh, that's what's your favorite?
I mean, I make this widely known, UMK3.
Yeah.
If I had to choose another one that wasn't UMK3, I'm not a Mortal Kombat 2 hater. If I'm somewhere and there is a machine, I'll throw 50 cents in it and have a go.
Right.
I like combos.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of guy that, like, I'm a receptacle for that kind of information. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And I can still pound out tons of fucking fatalities.
For something.
I can pound out fatalities that I haven't done in 15 years.
Right.
I can make the world blow up with Reptile right now if I wanted to.
That's how my brother is too. Yeah. Wouldn't it Smoke have the world blow up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Smoke. Yeah. I was about to say. Hold on. Let me push on my glasses for a moment.
Kang will pull an arcade machine down onto this man right now.
My brother's the same way. He just, like, has a muscle memory about, especially MK2 itself. That's probably his favorite installment of the
game.
That's
really weird.
What's
that? When I think about, like, if they made a Mortal Kombat game today and had Liu Kang pull a fucking arcade machine out of the sky, like, how many kids would be playing that are like, what's that weird black
coming out of the refrigerator out of the sky?
They would have no idea what that is. You're right.
What is that box that TV's in?
Just make it a first-year Xbox. They'll get that. It's heavy enough. The fuck
it. One of the controllers.
Yeah.
I moved mine last week and got
Hernia, so. Giant ape controllers they have.
Those are my picks.
There you go. Cool. Who's your favorite character, Haas?
Striker.
Yeah, you should definitely for Halloween dress up as Striker.
No, I'm going as Bubba Ray Dudley.
That's true. You're
going
to be Bubba Ray Dudley this year. That's pretty good.
I'm worried I'll be too skinny to go as Bubba Ray Dudley.
Nah.
I'll have to go as Bully Ray.
Nah, you just get Capzilla, man.
Go as Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Came in like a wrecking ball.
There you go. Anyway, Nate, who's your favorite character?
Sub-Zero.
So, speak up.
Pardon?
Into the microphone?
Sub-Zero.
He's a staple in this series.
What are you saying? Yeah. Your favorite character is Boring McBoring?
Yeah, no.
I shoot ice at people.
As a kid, it was like my favorite color was blue, and I didn't know much about
He's
played the shit out of him, and I got good. And it was really the first fighting game that I actually got, like, good with.
Right.
And so, like, that's kind of why he's my favorite, is because I learned the game on him, you know, playing the second one. And it was, you know, that's really where I kind of learned fighting.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
Sub-Zero.
He's a staple in the series. I think that's fine to say that's your favorite. He's he's cool, you know, yeah. It's whatever.
It's kind of like, you know, like Cyclops is my favorite X-Men until I realized what an asshole he was around, like, you know, age 12.
Just any idea.
And I was like, I can't like this guy anymore. He's a dick.
Yeah, what an asshole. So mine probably goes to Blind Kenshi from Deadly Alliance. He was a cool new character. I loved his face.
He's in the new one.
He is in the new one. I noticed that.
Hey guys, what's going on? Fun fact, the end of this podcast got eaten up in the stratosphere of the internet. I don't know what happened, but came out corrupted in the last 10 minutes we recorded, which is fine. The only thing we were going to say was my favorite character in the series was Blind Kenshi from Deadly Alliance, as well as Reptile throughout the whole series, pretty much. I would say that my favorite addition of the series was Deadly Alliance. I really got into that when it came out, and that was probably my favorite one. Anyway, sorry to our special guest that a lot of that got cut off at the end, but we also wanted to read off the guest write-ins for what we had said for what your favorite character and video game in the Mortal Kombat series was, as well as your favorite moment, if you had any favorite moments like that. We had a few write-ins, some friends of the show and friends of myself and Haas. So Haas's buddy Roman Back said his favorite was Sub-Zero, of course, and Mortal Kombat 3 on Sega was his favorite one. Dave Rogers, friend of the show, friend of me and Haas, he wrote in and said Cyber Smoke was his favorite, and Ultimate MK3 was his favorite in the series. Also, Todd Kiesling, big friend of the show, he's written in many he's written us a lot of times, sending questions, all that sort of thing. Favorite in the series is MK2, and favorite character is Scorpion. So that's pretty much a given for a lot of people, I think. It's either usually MK2 or Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. Destination, a collectibles, etc. location. Big friends at those guys there. They're a local comic shop here in Louisville, Kentucky. I believe this is Evan who sent this in, because I've actually had a conversation about him with this. Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 was the best by far. It had an amazing roster and had so many ways to finish off your opponent, such as brutalities and animalities and all sorts of things. MK3 was also the first in the series to introduce the combo system. I can't choose between my favorite characters. Baraka, Cabal, Smoke, and most of the ninja characters were all fun. I loved finding the 100% combo with Smoke, even though they said one didn't exist. And Haas actually mentioned that one doesn't actually exist in programming, but there is two separate combos that link together through a glitch, through an animation glitch, and it does look like one combo, but it's two separate combos that link together and does 100% damage. So technically it does exist, but technically it was never programmed, so it's kind of a wishy-washy area there. Brian Pelfrey, a good friend of mine, he wrote in and said, my favorite entry in the series of all time is actually Mortal Kombat Trilogy. Haas was very aptly objecting to this one. But luckily we don't have that that audio, so you're safe, Brian. He also said that his favorite was Johnny Cage. Is just so awesome. He's an incredible attitude, comes off as he's a Hollywood star, yet turns out to be a legit hero, etc., etc. He wrote a lot. Sorry, I'm paraphrasing Brian. My favorite memory growing up was hearing about the infamous Smoke Armageddon fatality, thinking there was no way it could be true, and then seeing it. A fatality that destroys the whole world, that's hardcore. Absolutely indeed. This was a great episode. I enjoyed recording it. Had a lot of fun with Nate and Haas. Sorry the last bit of this got eaten up. I don't know what happened, but it just cut off after my answer started. So just recorded this little ender. We didn't miss a whole lot. We just kind of jazzed a little bit for about 10 more minutes, and that was it. So luckily we got 95% of this thing in, and no problems had. So, all right, but that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Video Destruct podcast. We will see you next time.